When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Unfiltered and undeniably Boston. It's Morning Magic with Sue and Kendra.
It's Morning Magic with Sue and Kendra. So the Karen Reed trial is wrapping up. The defense has rested. I think now we're maybe waiting on closing arguments and instructions for the jury. But Sue, you and I don't really know anything about the law, so we got to go to the experts. And I love having Peter Alacan on. He's one of Boston's best known criminal defense attorneys. We did talk to him during the first Karen Reed trial, and I'm so curious to know his thoughts on what will happen next. Hi, Peter. Good morning.
Hi. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
God, I have so many questions
for
you.
I do too. So, Peter, are you surprised, first of all, that they didn't put Karen Reed on the stand?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, if she had been on the stand, you would have had to throw a blanket over me because I would have been in shock.
Really?
It's very rare. A lot of people don't understand that it's extremely rare that you put the defendant on the stand, maybe less than 5% of the time. And the reason is, unless you really need them to get in the information, it's probably best to keep them off, because otherwise it's easy for them to testify where they, where they're examined by their own lawyer.
Yeah.
But when they're cross-examined, I mean, for hours, they can be tripped up, they can be caught in things that they said before that were slightly different, they can make slips of the tongue or error. There's so much danger. It's like tap dance into a minefield that most of the time people do not testify at their own trial.
Peter, at this point, when the defense and the prosecution rest, is it better or worse if the jury takes 1 day versus 7 days? I mean, is there any insight onto judging how long or short juries take to get to a verdict?
Yeah, it's a real generality, though, and it doesn't always hold. They say that if a jury comes back in an hour, they're really clear and the person is guilty. And if they're taking a long time, if they're taking days, obviously they're not all in sync together. And it's either going to be a not guilty or it's going to be another hung jury and a mistrial. But that's just the conventional wisdom. We've seen juries come back. They are so convinced of the person's innocence that they immediately come back and say not guilty. So it's kind of hard to, every case is different.
Could we have another mistrial? I mean, if the jury is hung again, can there be two mistrials?
Yeah, there can be an unlimited number of mistrials.
Oh, boy.
Generally, the prosecution, if there's a hung jury the first time, often they don't try it a second time. It's not unusual that they try it a second time. But after that, there's actually no law that limits them how many times they can do it. There have been Massachusetts cases where I've seen where they've had four trials in a row.
Wow. Peter, I also want to ask you, what would you give for a grade for the prosecution and the defense? If you were grading them based on their presentation of the facts and of the evidence, how would you rate each side?
Okay, I'm not saying this just to butter them up. But I think we have been witnesses to just first-class lawyering on both sides. I think the prosecution here was extraordinary. That Hank Brennan is a remarkable attorney. And then the defense counsel has just been remarkable. I mean, I know I sound like I'm gushing, like I'm some kind of giddy fan. But we really have. This has been like a masterclass in just the finest lawyering that you could see on both sides. So whichever side wins and whichever side loses, I don't think we'll have hindsight and say, well, they should have done this, the loser should have done that, and they had to do it over again, or why'd they do this? And I just think that the decision is going to be made based on the evidence that's out there, really. And but it really has been just remarkable lawyering.
And before we let you go, Peter, do you have a prediction? Do you have a feeling of which way this might go?
Well, as any experienced trial lawyer will tell you, most of us will say we have long ago trying to get, given up on trying to figure out what a jury's going to do. They have shocked and surprised us many times before. And however, I would say in this case, if I had to go out on a limb, I would say there is enough reasonable doubt here. You know, this case has had no, there's been no eyewitness, there's no video. There's enough reasonable doubt for the jury to hang their hat on. And having said that, I still don't know what the jury's ultimate verdict is going to be. But
well, we're going to find out in just days, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
So
thanks, Peter.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Yeah.